Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Josephine County Board of Commissioners. It is Wednesday, January 31st, 2018, 2 p.m. for the administrative workshop in the BCC Conference Room. President or Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Billy Morgan, and Commissioner DeYoung. First up on our agenda is item 1A. The Treasurer, Eve Arce, is on board for Treasurer Report, Order Number 2018-004. The matter of the readoption of the Josephine County investment policy. Eve?
Hello. Last name is pronounced Arce.
Arce, got it.
Thank you. this is something that is required every year. There's no changes to it, but still have to bring it to the board to make sure that you know that I know what I'm supposed to be doing and we have policies in place for our investments.
I talked to John the other day and I'm just kidding. I was going to say something about, you know, like I always do, but times are better now.
So they are.
The interest rates.
The interest,
relative
the pool rate's now come up to 1.7%. Wow.
Huge.
It is. It's huge because a little more than a year ago, it was at 0.5. We never went down to 0.2, but I think 0.5 was the lowest that we got.
In the LGIP, but there were some elements of the portfolio that we're getting?
No, never that low. My investments that are actually outside there, like Fannie Mae, Farmer Mac, stuff like that, they came down pretty low, but most of the time stayed pretty close.
How much discretion? I know that safety is the number one element of the investment pool, and I don't mean to dominate the conversation, but I know where we've been in the past with being able to generate some revenues. If we're not meeting a CPI, in my estimation, you're losing money. The value of that dollar is not keeping up with inflation, and so at 0.5, when CPI is 2.whatever, how can we not, I mean, what do you have any ideas about things that we could try to do to at least maintain a revenue of an interest rate of a CPI?
Before you answer that, how long are they in that market that's getting that interest?
Okay, the LGIP is basically a bank account that it's just like a on-demand bank. Fully liquid.
But you buy CDs for 6 months, and you've put some investments out there.
Yes, I have right now. I have like 9 investments that are, like I said, the government-backed securities. Mm-hmm. Right now they range from a little over 1% up to 2.7%, depending on when I buy them. They're only 3 years. That's what the policy says, max 3 years. Yes. And so when I bought these ones that are lower, they were higher than the pool.
Right. But so it was a good investment then.
It was. And now I've got one that will be maturing this year in August that is the slightly over 1. And then I've got 4 that will mature next year that are about 1.5 or so.
And you chose those longer investments at the time that were exceeding the LGIP because
the longer time,
you get paid more.
Correct. And there's also that option of call, which means that the guys that they're going to buy me out, that usually bumps that interest rate up. So I usually save my, when I purchase something, I put at least a 6-month hold on the call, nothing less than that. It's really not worth the time.
Right.
Out to 3 years, about every 6 month is a call. So if they do call it, then I get a better interest rate. And like I said, at the time when I purchased them, they were a much better. And the pool was holding pretty steady. It's only been in the last 3-4 months that it's just really jumped quite a bit. So now that I've been holding off, because also with the policy, I'm supposed to ladder out the maturities, but I've been holding off buying anything new because they're just slightly higher than the pool. I had an appointment yesterday with an investment broker. They're looking at 1.89%, and right now the pool's at 1.7. The chances are the pool's going up again, so it'd be senseless to buy a 3-year at 1.89 when the pool's going to go up higher. So it's safer leave it in the pool.
The pool is more secure than stepping out of that?
No,
because when I buy an investment, It's solid there. It's very safe and very secure.
She doesn't have a lot of discretion to go out for something that really isn't safe.
No.
And it's just varying degrees.
That's good. Yes. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, she
you can't go out on
she's
a
not
limb.
Gambling.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay. In fact, that's one of the reasons when John was treasurer, we had CDs from Premier West, from Umpqua, from a lot of the banks local in town, because they had really good rates.
Yeah.
CD rates have not come up yet, so I haven't bought anything local. So it's just basically staying in the pool and buying a really good 3-year investment.
This morning at Chamber Greeters, Umpqua Bank offered a 13-month 1.85. And so it was just kind of as a comparator of from its public banking. So
right. So
and that was a 13-month commitment. Mm-hmm. You know.
Right. Okay. Which isn't bad.
Which isn't bad.
They're, like I said, they're like the pool, too. They're just starting to pop up now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it's just really a matter of getting together with a local banker if we want to do that. So.
And you're only investing our dollars outside of the LGIP. I mean, if your tax revenue comes in, it's obviously got to be someplace. But then it goes out.
Yes.
And you don't.
I do not invest for anyone except us.
Can't, because
no.
We're not holding their money, right?
I could.
Unless they elected to let you.
Yes, I could. And technically, I am investing their money for the time I'm holding it. But I leave it in the pool because it has to be totally liquid. Yep. Because
at any point they say...
Well, every 30 days I have to pay them.
Check.
And then in November, I pay them once a week when we have the most money. Because it's coming and going. November for tax is one thing. Treasury is a whole other thing. Just lands right on top of it. We've got 5 days to post a turnover and then 5 days to pay it out. So I've got posting and paying,
just
right on top.
If there is something maybe outside. So Klamath County has a fairly substantial public works reserve that they're looking to try to get either state authorized authority to reinvest within their county and do something like of a bonding element so that they would loan it to a municipality,
themselves.
A special service district that's backed by... a revenue stream from taxpayers or something like that, a guaranteed revenue stream.
Right.
And then they're able to get, you know, that guarantee, but also generate a revenue stream that's in excess of the LGIP, or 1%. You know, they can charge 2% because it's still better than the bonding rating agencies are going to give them. If we're bonding something right now today, we're probably going to be paying around 3% interest. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the Demick campus is paying or something along those lines. So it's like just that working out that delta. And if you have $90 million to loan, and we don't have that, but if you had something that was similar, guaranteed, but to an irrigation district or something like that, to doing work, that would be great. I mean, there's real money to be made, I think, or at least keeping up with inflation. I hate the idea that we're losing money every day. We've got it in there in LGIP because, you know, CPI is doing 2.4.
We're not losing money. We're just not making as much as we could.
You're losing value. Your dollar isn't worth the same that it is tomorrow if you're not keeping up with that CPI or inflation.
And then,
so.
Of course, we do have our rules and regs that keep us within that. Sorry, this is where we've got to stay.
Yeah.
Safety is the huge
number
thing.
Number one.
You know, not, you know, because I think yield is like fourth out of the four.
Yeah, right.
Safety,
that's not
liquidity,
the priority.
Something in yield, yes.
Yeah.
The yield is the least, but I don't always...
I didn't want to spend a bunch of time, but I just feel that it's really... If you ever come across something and, you know, just let us have an option as far as, you know, your recommendation would be a lot because that's your job. That's what you were elected to do. But I think trying to eke out as much as that's possible...
Yes, and it's always something to look at.
That may be
sure
number four for the policy. I think all the other bases are covered. It's my number one, is that we're doing the best job managing those funds that we possibly can. So,
are we okay with moving that forward to the WBS?
Mm-hmm.
Will you be there to?
Yes, I will.
Be. Okay, good enough. Okay, item 1B is the treasurer's semi-annual meeting as required by the Josephine County investment policy.
So I brought this up last week, so I don't know if you guys have had a chance to look at it. Basically, it sort of benchmarks what the investments are doing here, kind of a little narrative, what we've been doing in the office, some tax collection stuff, our stats, and then the really important thing is tax foreclosures.
No. Actually, we did our collections and tax are about same, a little bit higher than last year by 0.25%. So it really amazed me that we did as well in tax collection, because current year is like 89.32 and last year is 89.07.
Well, you've got three different new additions to your...
Yes, and the levy, just the amount certified to us, was over $11 million higher. So people didn't balk as much. Well, we heard a lot of it vocally.
Yeah, but ironically, you didn't see it in a statistic.
No,
said,
did not see that in a statistic.
So for 7 years, people have been, you know, espousing that you're going to put people out of their homes.
Right. And more people came in and paid timely than prior years.
Wow.
So it was a real kind of a little,
It's interesting.
They may be bitching about it, but they're still paying it, and they're coming forward in a good, timely manner, which is really nice. We send out 45,000, a little over 45,000, for a total of 78 million, almost 79 million, which is quite a bit. And we turned, of course, about 69, almost 70 million over within that 30-day period, so that all the districts have gotten their money.
Makes everybody happy.
What's our...
Oh, it does.
What's our base rate again? I mean, our taxable assets, we're at 7....
It's still about 7.8 for the county. That doesn't include the sheriffs. The sheriffs adds a little more, and I didn't bring that chart with me, because I actually just did that for that state of the county thing.
Is taxable assets that are larger than the...
Oh, taxable assets,
billion.
Okay.
The billion.
Oh,
number,
the billion.
7.1.
Oh, I don't know. That's assessment. I look at money and numbers of statements, how much I have to collect from how many people.
I'm sure it's in here somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a really interesting number to look at annually, to say we added $250 million of value in two or three years or something like that in assessed value. It's pretty interesting how it's eked up. I think when I took office, the number was 6.7, 6.8, and we're doing 7.2 or 4 or something like
course,
that.
And, of course, a lot of that has to do, too, with the assessment being able to get out there and assess the value.
Yeah.
And make sure they get it on the roll. And catch
I don't want to speak for Connie, but we've talked about the fact that if we could hire more assessors, there's at least $500 million worth of unassessed value out there. And that just helps everybody.
That number was very instrumental in when we were talking about the levy to people, because they said, well, how does Jackson County make out? So, well, their tax base is four times what we are here, and their assessed value, total assessed value, is five times what we have here.
Right.
So if we collect $10 million, they're $40 million, times five is $200 million to our $10 million. That's how they do it.
Quite a bit.
That value really played a big role.
Mm-hmm. It does.
In being able to justify what you have and don't have. Mm-hmm.
So your foreclosures, looks like you've got a few...
Oh, tax foreclosures for coming up at the end of February. I hope I can get it done by February. I just found out today I've got a little tiny .03 lot that is like on the west Jones Creek that somebody in assessment decided to not include in this lot and not include it from that lot and created a lot, which means I have to go to Peter to get a description so that legal foreclosed for me. But that little tiny piece, we've got a 4.3 acre piece that's out off of Demaray that is a major problem. Sheriff called me last year on it. They've got squatters out there. And
I
did an ore map picture, and it's got a grow on it as well. You can see pot plants. Yeah, you can see pot plants all over it.
We're doing property interviews tomorrow. So
yay! That was one of my questions. Who do I get to give this to? And then the third piece that I have was part of our foreclosure. It looked like the lender didn't clear off the second parcel, and the two homeowners I have not been able to get a hold of yet. But hopefully they don't want to lose their quarter, a fifth of an acre. But otherwise, this year it'll be really nice.
Pretty low numbers.
Yeah, for this year. Okay. Coming up, we've got a development out in CJ
that they're trying to get a handle on and get it out of my foreclosure, because there's over 50 lots, I think, that are included.
That's, what's his name?
Something development.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, him.
Well, I mean, the airport guy proposed to do that. I think it's the thing. He's involved in all that, I'm sure.
Manor Community Development.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't get, like, Abramoff out of it. Federal guy.
He came in a couple of days, about a week or so ago, and I asked.
Same vein.
Yeah, we had just address issues with him trying to get him there, and I said, okay, well, who are you? And he says, well, I am Manor Community. It's like, good. Give me a good address and make sure you pay this out. But so otherwise, everything else is coming on. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions, Commissioner?
Ideally getting those done by February, because I still want to make, I want an April property sale.
Yeah.
And if we could put those on there, the less time we have them in our inventory, the less likely we're getting a spring grow or a squatter.
Oh, yeah.
And that's my rub.
Well, the one on just Demaray has been a real problem for a long time.
Get them back into somebody who wants to take care of them.
Yep.
Oh, yep. One other thing, too. Our own commercial 3%. So far, we've collected about $24,000 for June to December. But that does not include Bud Junction, who mistakenly has been paying our portion to the state. And the state says, I don't care. Go get it from him.
Wow.
So he gets a credit?
Yeah, they will not refund it to him, and they will not send it to us. They don't have any statutory
authority
to give the money back. It's like,
and they've already spent it.
Yeah.
They don't have any
checks already.
Yeah, so this guy gave him an extra month to get me the money. He owes us about $4,000. And
do you track on the property sales that we've had and receive payments for those that we've financed? And I haven't asked for.
I don't track them. I have
Arthur
awareness of them.
You
legal.
Take the money.
Isn't yeah, of course we take the money.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, it's more legal than Arthur.
Okay.
And they'll
He's
call down once in a while.
Plausible deniability. What do we know? We're just the board. We don't count. We'll go to legal. They're not in the room.
Yeah.
I just like a report on how are we doing with those properties that we financed.
One was been paid off.
Right.
We
signed that deed.
And I think the other one, that same guy owes, he called for a payoff. So it kind of sounds like, and it's about 20,000. So it sounds like he wants to get that taken care of. And the other two are just making their monthly payments as far as I know.
Great.
Get their checks
and they're current.
And they are current, yes. They're not behind.
Excellent.
Cool.
Well, it's nice that program's working out.
Yes.
Kind of a gamble, but
hey, works. Cool. Sometimes it pays off.
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
See you Wednesday.
Move on to item department business. Item 2A, community development. Julie Smelter and Nora. Item A1 is broadband plan letter of support. We'll take that one first.
Sure. So the county and the city have a joint economic development strategic plan, which talks about the need to address infrastructure and broadband shortages. So there is a committee between the city and the county that was put together to implement that plan, and we created a subcommittee to just look at broadband. So what happened was this past fall, the state sent out invitations to apply for a pilot program regarding broadband, and I submitted a response to that, and we were invited to now actually apply for funding to plan for broadband, where it will go in the county. Will it be underground? Will it be satellite? How will it be done? That grant application is due close to the end of the month, but we do need a letter of support. Well, we'd like a letter of support
Which
from the
month?
Board.
Is that
February. I'm sorry.
We better hurry. Close. Yeah, you mean got a couple of minutes?
Like, I'm sorry.
After 30 days.
I'm surprised. I mean, that's usually how I roll, but
you don't even know what month it is, Julie. So,
anyway, so February. So we're looking for a letter of support just to show that the county is behind it, because what we are doing is something unique that's not done elsewhere. Is we're actually proposing that what goes underground is actually a round conduit with a fourplex in it. So the broadband cable can be run down one section of the conduit, and then there's three more holes that we can rent out
for future, and have
it sustain the program. So that will help pay for any repairs or expansions that we need. So we're really hoping that the state gets behind it, but no, it would be ideal to have a letter of support from the board on that. And that's what we're requesting.
Are you in communication at all with Hunter Communication? They seem to be the agency in our community that is expanding broadband and services, both in the Ivy and in the Merlin area. And I'm just wondering if you've had any talks with them directly, because they're putting in infrastructure.
Right. So there's actually several providers out there at this point. And no, we are not talking with them at this point, because we're to the point where we're just saying, we need to do this. Now, through the planning process, all of those vendors get pulled in as part of that planning process. Where should we go? What are we doing? What are you seeing? Things of that nature. Right now, we're just in the initial phase of just asking for the money to do the plan. Cameron Camp is on our subcommittee, so he's representing the vendors at this point. You know, that vendor voice that's out there. There's actually quite a few suppliers that we can tap into on this program, but we have not started the individual ones. We do have a meeting we're scheduling at the end of February with all of those vendors to talk about the ordinances that we have in place, and we want to know from the vendor how it is, the roadblocks they're seeing as a result of our rules. What are they seeing that is causing problems for them and preventing them from doing more extensions throughout the county? So that we do have coming up with Hunter and some of the other ones. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not going forward without them. It's just that there's certain times when we pull them in, and it's premature on the planning phase yet. So.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, the letter looks good. There's some. There was something that I didn't write it down on this version, because there's nothing written down on this version. But I do know that I can remember. I'll reread it and I'll give you some of the notes that I had. But the main focus was is that in the appendix we should include the 2020 report that was developed by the Illinois Valley and cite the specifics need for broadband.
Oh, that's also a good idea.
It's also in their application for reinvesting those, so there's match money available to the Illinois Valley if the board deems that application and process worthy. The other thing is SORED can get you the statistics on the number that I heard a number of years ago was 10 times the number of online businesses Josephine County has, and on average for the state of Oregon, so I should say it better. The average county, Josephine County has 10 times the number of online businesses, and online-based businesses than any other county in the state or something like
okay.
that. And I think that economic driver is going to be really key. What I've heard resounding in the North Valley area and others is that they would be able to do more business if it didn't take so long to do the little business that they do do.
Right. So. I do have the data on how many profitability, if you extend broadband to certain areas, the end result or the economic impact of that is in there. So a lot of what we do, a lot of what I'm putting in that final grant application is what was in that piece that I sent you already, which was what I used to be eligible to even apply to get invited for the grant. So,
what I wanted to do with that statistic is it differentiates us from other areas. Everybody gets that online benefit, you know what I
right.
mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're applying and competing against everybody, everybody can use that statistic. What they can't say is the fact that we have a higher propensity for people to use online, and that plays into another stat I wanted to say, is that in the 2015 health state study, they do a survey every year through public health about 33 different elements. Drug abuse is on there. You know, we did pretty well in that one. One we did really well in, though, is livability. We were seventh in the state, I think, in 2015-16.
Okay.
And that plays into the reason why people would want to do businesses based at home, because we're just a great place to live.
Sure.
And so that all kind of dovetails, I think, into what you're looking to try to say. Why are you guys different to have this grant funds to do this study? That's why, because this is what that's what's happening here.
And I think those are great points.
Okay.
So I'll put them into the final grant application.
Great. Is there a chance on that particular statistic that it could go worse now that 91's in and we have girls everywhere? I mean, I don't know what our livability issue is.
Yeah, I know that's why you used the 2015 stat.
Okay.
I don't know what it is now. It's probably not the same.
That's what I mean. It's probably not that anymore.
So, but your proposal is going to make it that way again.
Let's hope. Okay, any other questions on the broadband plan letter of support?
Well, if you need me to draft it for you to sign, let me know. Otherwise, I'll be looking for it towards the end of the month, towards the end of February.
Okay. I think you should draft it, and then we'll...
Or do you want to draft
it, yeah. Mr. Harris? Well, your application's probably exactly what you need to do is just pull from that.
Okay.
Don't rewrite something, and it can be short and sweet, because people aren't going to read it anyway. They're just going to read the fact that the county is in favor of it. That's it. It's a short and sweet couple of things that you put in there.
Okay. That's
clear direction?
Yep.
Okay, next one up is item 2A2, the Skeel findings of fact.
Okay, so the Skeel case is one that we heard on appeal this past fall, and Nora was handling the case, if you remember from the public hearing, and she was directed to work with the attorneys on the findings of fact. And so she had put them together, and one of the attorneys came back with a lot of changes that he wanted to see. One decided not to comment. One gave us tremendous amount of changes. Nora worked with legal on it, and they said, look, it's up to you guys what you accept. So we decided to accept to not add what that attorney had put in there. He had some minor things which we accepted, but basically making his argument through our findings. So what you have in front of you is what Nora and I feel are captured the decision of that case, and we just want to know if you have concerns with it, so if we have to change it. Otherwise, we'll ask for it to be signed at next Wednesday's meeting.
So I wasn't in attendance at that land use hearing, so I'm going to recuse myself. But typically, our practice at the county is that the applicant provides and produces the findings of facts. And so do we have a reason why we...
We were directed.
Okay.
Yeah, so the board decided.
Board present. Mm-hmm. Just for your edification, it costs time and energy, money. It should be typically.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, the board obviously, and just did, can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And maybe in this situation it made a lot of sense, given that one of the attorneys was providing, and I don't know if that was the applicant's attorney, but the findings of facts is really just codifying what happened at the meeting and the justification for why the board arrived at the decision they did. That's it. It's Correct. Not an opportunity, and legal probably reinforced that issue to, mm-hmm. to argue your case again. You did that. And so anyway.
Well, reading through Section 5, I didn't find anything in it that we is different from what we did. So
Nora does have the redline version. He wanted a lot added to Section 5.
It was basically a rehash of what's a road.
I think that
As you'll recall, and the second part of that added section 5.5 was what's an easement and was it an easement? And as I'm sure you'll recall, the appellant himself admitted that it is an easement. It's served by it serves more than one parcel. And then we had the long, drawn-out discussion of road versus public road, way et cetera, et cetera. That was all revisited in the suggested changes by the attorney who did choose to make comments. We chose to strike it. It was just
we'd have the same
additional information that we already are familiar with.
We'd still have the same discussion. Correct?
Is there a way you can email the red version?
Sure. Plus, I have a hard copy if you'd like to have that in front of you now so you don't have to print it out.
I wouldn't yourself. Print it out. I just look on it.
Oh, fine. Sure, I'll email it.
If I got it.
I could send it over.
Are you here for the next week of the business session?
Never mind, I am not.
Well, you can't move forward without a quorum of the board who participated in it, so...
Correct, so it would have to wait until... Careful.
Sure, yikes. Make it. Got it.
In my brain, my arm reached out to help, but it did, my hands didn't cooperate, so my apologies.
The thought that counts?
Not, I saw you hadn't caught yourself.
Yeah, you're so funny. No problem.
That's why I'm sitting down here, because I don't expect any help.
Now I know how she really feels. Well, I was going to help you.
No, if you hadn't caught yourself, I would have, but it was like, oh, look, he's going. Okay.
Hey, he's
going
to fall over.
Cheer.
Too bad we don't have video.
I apologize, I did not read this before this meeting, so...
I started to, and then I realized, wait a second,
you
this doesn't
there.
Sound familiar at all.
I am very familiar with that meeting, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't mind seeing the redline version just to kind of just so we're there kind of thing, and I can email you.
That's fine.
Kind of response.
So we complete business session. You get we'll get the redline version. You and I.
Yeah.
And then which one do you want to move it to?
Well, they'll know it's like the 15th of February or.
Well, is it weekly business? So it would be the 14th.
Yeah.
February 14th, is that the next one with the court with?
Yeah. I also know I have a meeting with DHS that day that they haven't told me what time their meeting is, so we'll have to.
This will be the
priority.
Okay.
I would suggest. Is that an evening meeting, so it might be easier
for DHS? Oh, that might be,
Yeah, I think we want to process that. I don't remember even how you guys weighed in, but the applicant's waiting for approval, or is this going to be appealed?
You know, they did deny the appeal. There's another attorney involved. She recently has asked for all emails that went back and forth regarding this redline version. So I would not be surprised if there's an appeal.
Okay, so there's not like the applicant's waiting to put a shovel on the ground.
It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to hear a couple, 3 weeks probably isn't going to be
possible. Right. But then there's no rush, so you've got a couple weeks.
No, I just remembered that I ran into one of the planners on this one over in Medford at the Sir Reddy event, and he brought it up. So, all the memories. I'll read through and email you any thoughts.
And then are we going to go on for February 14th or the 21st? You said you had something on the 14th?
I think they worked it out.
I believe the meeting's the evening, so we should have no conflict, I'm hoping.
Okay. 14.
They haven't scheduled it yet, so I don't know what the timing is.
There goes your Valentine dinner.
You won't be able to sleep until then, Nora. I am sorry.
That could be an unfortunate thing to do. You wouldn't get a very good turnout, I bet, or something like that.
We can do the 21st if it's better.
No, I mean, we may switch the 14th to a day meeting and make the 21st an evening meeting or something like that. We can accommodate that.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Nothing's set in stone.
But it's...
It's not like the 14th is anything special to me, so
it's
I don't
Valentine's
care.
Valentine's Day and love is in the air. Maybe that'll work.
It's the one-year anniversary of tragedy.
Well, yeah. So anyway, before you guys leave, I have a couple of issues for planning community development that I think are relevant to having public works in the room. That we've talked about as a board the easement element, providing access to developing a piece of property. And right now we don't have that in our code to allow that. That is a priority for me, that we move that forward in a timely fashion. It seems like an easy fix, but I don't want to miss a nuance of like, well, you thought you were doing a good thing, and then the next thing you know, you've opened up a Pandora's box. I want it well thought out. And I've thought about it for years. I know that our housing shortage, really, there's a lot of developable properties in my mind that could work really, really well. There's carrying capacity, stuff's all good, and I can think of like 4 or 5 examples in my head, but we just need an ordinance that codifies that decision, a direction from you guys. So if you could work jointly on that, that with the endorsement of the board, I can't just say this as one person, but if you guys think that that's a priority, I think it really could help.
Given the housing shortage, if we've got land out there that we can develop and we're not, we're limiting.
Yeah, they're not developing it because they don't have...
access or whatever.
Access to a thoroughfare without utilizing an easement.
So that is in draft form.
Great.
That was sent out for review. We're looking to have all comments back by the end of the week so I can send it to DLCD. So that is... So the draft that was emailed out includes the... housing, transit housing, lodging, the easements, the cluster subdivisions, camping regulations. It's 16 pages. So that's why I sent it out early to at least get people start looking at it, get familiar with it. But we're looking to have that hearing in March with the planning. I have to have it with the planning commission, and then it'll go to the board after that. But in a perfect world, beginning of May, I'd like to hopefully have these adopted so by the time we're in full swing with construction season, it's there.
The other issue that I had to do with road access is kind of, it's a joint element that I understand that in order for somebody to get a road access permit, they have to pave their approach. One of the concerns that construction people have is the fact that that's the first element to get a development permit to do a bunch of construction that maybe has a negative impact on that paved approach, and that they're either going to have to repave it, rip it up, blah, blah, blah. Could have damage to it. What I was hoping, if that's an internal thing, that either codified by board order or something, but that the person would be able to get their road permit, but they don't get their certificate of occupancy or something else, as far as like the building is done, everything's done, but you don't get your certificate of occupancy until you pave that approach. But you don't have to pave it while you're having cement trucks.
Make it the final rather than the
first.
Yeah,
there's because there's people who are, I think I've heard of people who are being held up by a road approach permit. A, they can't get it paved this time of year, but they could be doing development stuff or what have you. It just feels like everything being asked, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure what I'm hearing.
Well, if the plants are down and there's no one paving, they can secure for that paving during that time.
I would like the development to be able to go underway before, or at least have a discussion, tell me why this isn't a good idea.
Yes, if they just secure for the paving, they can. Yeah, they basically put up a bond for whatever, $3,500 of asphalt, and they can move on in very way as far as we're concerned.
Is there another way to do that? That would be similar.
We want to have them up here in the discussion.
Well, I don't know. They're down farther in the thing. I didn't know if that was an element for you. You can't issue a development permit until you get a road approach permit, which makes sense. I mean, you're going to do a development permit, but you don't even know that you have access. You don't want to do that. But having it full blown built out, apron paved, and everything seems like a pretty high threshold. If that is an option. I don't know that that's always being conveyed to people.
Well, first off, not all approaches have to be paved.
Right.
And what happened historically, why we went to that level of saying you need to pave up front, is that, you know, they always talk about how the approach gets destroyed.
Yes.
The road gets destroyed.
Yes.
And that's a hazard to the motoring public at that point.
Right. And it degrades our infrastructure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, something maybe we need to talk about at another meeting.
And I guess just real quick on the first issue, we've got our department comments are together, so we can have
great.
We didn't have much. I mean, we want enough width so they can get turning room to get off the road, and then to make sure that we're securing for right of way if a future road potential's there. But otherwise, it was pretty low bore stuff, so we can get those into the day.
So one of the concerns we do get, which we'll have to talk about, is that bonding up front, that option. A lot of people can't afford to do that at that point. So that's something we'll have to discuss and figure out.
But they maybe don't get the funding until a permit's in play? Or
well,
is that what you're saying?
You know, for example, let's say you're building and you have a gravel road at that time and you're putting in manufactured home or something, they may not have that extra $3,500
to bond out. Yeah.
Especially if we're now looking at allowing small homes, less expensive homes, things of that nature.
Okay. Well, it's something I would like to talk about because I feel like it's being brought up as an impediment to doing something. And if there's a constructive, creative way to solve it, like you don't get your certificate of occupancy until you do what's required. I can feel like you guys don't want to issue a permit for something that's not actually being completed. Totally get that because you want it done at the end of the day, but there might be a way to put a nexus on planning. That
without that cash outlay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Well, we'll work on that.
Great. Thank you. That's what I have.
Thank you.
You done? Next up, item 2B, juvenile justice. Item number one, Intergovernment Agreement number 13981 between Josephine County and the Oregon Youth Authority to provide behavior rehabilitation services and placement-related activities to the Oregon Youth Authority BRS, Behavior Rehabilitation Services clients residing in the county's Turning Point Residential Program. And on board is Jim Goodwin to give us a report on that. Jim?
Thank you. Good afternoon. Mm-hmm. Really, this is a very straightforward contract with one of the two agencies that we would that actually give us a chance if we have a youth that is connected to either Oregon Youth Authority or Department of Human Services as a commitment. If they stay on our residential program, we can bill for that stay. So this is a lot of pages of obligations on both sides, but I would draw most attention to page 5. which is it gives a dollar amount, which includes the rest of this year ending July 1 and all of next year, fiscal year.
Okay, so it's actually 18 months instead of 2 years.
Correct. And you'll see the full dollar amount of $238,217 and some change. What that, if you dig through the contract, you'll find what that equates to is $217.55 per day per youth. And that amount is an aggregate total of 3 beds that we would say to that agency, we can provide that if you have the need. So all of the nuts and bolts of the services that we provide are wrapped up in another process that we're almost finished with licensing with the state and the behavioral rehabilitative services, basically checklist application that says our staff are trained, they have the education, we have the programming, the curriculum, just all of that is now in place, and this is just how we bill for those stays.
Any questions on that? Lily?
No, to me, the fact that we can get reimbursed for some of this and the partnerships you sought out is what we had hoped would all come into play.
It's a great thing. We will have a similar, for whatever reason, Oregon Youth Authority, they have very, very long and detailed contracts. Well, I'll have a similar one.
It's not their fault.
Within the next 2 weeks.
Department of Justice.
Indeed. Right.
Those people are insane.
Right. So I will have a similar one before you, probably within the next 2 weeks, from Department of Human Services. The same rate, the same daily bed rate. The $217.55 is a great. They talked about rate increases over the last 5 years, and they were finally able to implement that, which was great because the old rate didn't pay for the service. They wanted educated, trained staff, and you couldn't run a program based on the old rate. And so this one makes sense.
Great.
Any questions? And I will be out of the state next week, but I will have a staff member come to weekly business session.
I think I know where you'll be, but I'm thinking we should have you Skype in to give the presentation. Just kidding.
Thank you.
Keep talking, Commissioner Ryan. I'm not sure that we shouldn't write a policy that you two are not allowed on that either a plane or in the district together.
Maybe after next week we'll have more information.
I only found out we're both there on Monday night, so.
Right.
Okay.
Good. Thank
Any
you.
Other questions? We got them.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You very much, Mr. Goodwin.
Yes.
Appreciate that. Item C. 1, Public Works, contract for personal services with OBEC Consulting Engineers for design, engineering, and permitting for the replacement of 6 county culverts. On board we have Rob Brandis and Chuck DeJean-Bay. Got it.
Good afternoon, board. So we've come back with another cut at the discussion from last week. Commissioner Hare, I want to see some more detail in terms of how some of those bigger projects are handled internally and kind of dedication to hours and all. And so I set up the hourly matrices for the board to give you kind of a sense. I've kind of tried to cut it 2 different ways. The first one with a bit more data on there is where we're at today with the 6 engineering staff that we have on hand. And I think the term engineering gets used a bit loosely. The only true engineers we have on staff are Chuck and Neil, the civil engineer. The other folks do work in the engineering department, but they're primarily doing inspection, survey, traffic data, that kind of thing. And so we're clearly short when it comes to design horsepower, and the hope would be for next budget year we're going to add 2 positions, the Tech 3s that are shown there on the side. I want to leave these a bit open-ended when we go out for those to fill those spots because we're not quite sure what we get. We may get lucky and get an engineer in training that came right out of school and he's or she is looking for something to just rip on and go. We may get something that's not as much design skills, but for now we're hopeful we'll get at least one. And with somebody of that bore, they will be able to design lower bore things like these culverts we have in the queue here. They're not going to be designing the Redwood Avenue intersection type thing like Neil did last year, but it'll give us more flexibility. It also pulls Neil off of not doing smaller bore projects like that.
Rob, do you guys ever contact like OSU or something like that who's got a good engineering program?
When we have openings, we go straight to OSU and OIT. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we hit them pretty hard, and it's just the market is really competitive, and there just aren't as many folks going into those fields anymore. Unfortunately, all those STEM things you always hear about, there just aren't surveyors coming out of school. There aren't engineers coming out of school. Mm-hmm. So it's always a tough push, so... We'll hit them hard. Could use another beaver out there. The other sheet was just a different cutout that didn't have quite as much data. So this is just to give the board a sense of how long these larger design projects take as they work their way through our department. So the first column there kind of showing the types of projects we have. So an HBP bridge reconstruction, that's our standard 10% match for, say, a Sucker Creek bridge. And the 400 to 800 hours is the cradle to grave in terms of working its way through our department. That's primarily going to be Chuck's time. It would end up with a bit of mine, a bit of accounting, that kind of thing. And so then the next column is kind of assessing how many of those we do in a typical year. And I've put a half because we probably have two some years, one some years, zero some years. And so that kind of ends up, I put additional hours for you. That's hours per year. But you can see that, when you get to a major design project like the Redwood Avenue that we did last year, we had over 1,000 hours on that thing. It takes a long time by the time you're surveying, inspecting, designing, contract management, all that stuff. So as we're moving forward, we know that there's going to be more bigger projects just due to the funding package that came through the state. Our hope is to be doing more of the ODOT exchange projects in-house. Instead of where we do the match, ODOT's going to allow us to work these internally. These would be like the chip seal projects we typically do, where we do a 6% match and we just wash the money. Instead, we'll be able to manage these in-house and cut a lot of those state strings, and I think we'll still come way in under budget on these, and effectively we can then spread that money further. So both those things in place. We also know we're not getting our inspections done like we need to just because the building community is doing more than it did a couple years ago. So we're falling short in several areas, and the thought being, if we can get two more folks on board as this thing is ramping up and get in front of it, heck, I'd love to get one solid person on board for July 1st, but that's two would be even better. To start getting ahead of these projects, have more things in the can. I would love to have 15 or 20 drainage projects this size in the can ready to go out. We just don't. We haven't had design horsepower for a while to do it. So getting back to the OBEC contract, the thought being, we can get six ready to go right now out the door, and probably start tackling them this fall. Take the two easiest ones, and if we've got more budget, maybe take three this fall. But to start getting ahead of this, because as I've talked about here, we know we've got dozens out there that need to get repaired. Admittedly, at some level, it's like trying to figure out when you change the timing belt in your car. Optimally, you do it the day before it breaks. It doesn't quite work that way. But we want to make sure we catch culverts before we have a full failure like Azalea, because then they cost 30% more because it's now a rush job. Get it out of there, get done. So putting more with OBEC on the front end to get a few of these out the door gets us ahead of that curve a bit more, and I think reduces the likelihood of one of our known 15 or 20 worst culverts going. We can get these six moving going forward. Yeah, I would like to think we're doing these kinds of things.
We got real lucky this year because it didn't rain.
Hasn't rained yet. Very true. Very true.
Really, you want it misunderstood that we, as a board, I don't think we do endorse the idea of working as much. I mean, we do it in building and safety. If you need engineering help outside, we're in favor of that. It's just what you choose to do outside is what you choose to do inside, and how much of a bottleneck is it, a pain in the derriere to be doing these 100 different driveway approaches and having that outsourced, as opposed to when you're replacing one of these culverts that's 12, 14 feet down, it's pretty heavily regulated, it's like, this is what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Maybe we do that in-house, and we say the cumbersome stuff that we're doing, on a daily basis for individual developments and housings, maybe we outsource that. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of one of the evaluations if we're going to, but we don't get an opportunity to do that if we're outsourcing, the culvert stuff. That, have you done an evaluation about which one you would prefer to see in-house? Is that these culverts and we hire somebody, or
are you asking for a threshold to say,
no, it's the portfolio that you should be doing in-house and the portfolio that we should be outsourcing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
These things are like a bridge. They're fairly regulated, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. They've got to be done. But a culvert is not federally regulated or something to that. I mean, for a residence, for a house, for accessing our ditches.
Right.
There's a different flavor to them in my mind. And you either got to pick one, and that was one of my reservations.
I guess, okay, so I'm still not, I'm not sure I'm tracking then. I think in a perfect world, had we had one more designer, and if we could have afforded one more guy that had design skills the last 3 years, we wouldn't be here with this contract today. Our fear is that we don't have the horsepower right today to get there. I'm hopeful we get some come June, but there's a reasonable chance that we won't get somebody that can hit the ground running or ready to go, and we're feeling like we need to start turning the battleship of these 15 or 20 known worst culverts sooner than that to start knocking them out this fall.
And the person that does the driveways, he's not a designer. He's a step below that. So.
Okay.
Right. I think, and so, again, you get back to somebody just getting out of school. Maybe their comfort level with design is doing a two-fold culvert that has no fish-bearing impact. It's just a cross culvert on a road. You start them there before we turn them loose on a 36-inch culvert that's 8 feet down on a Class 1 stream.
So you would want to keep that two-foot culvert in-house, and you don't want to outsource that.
Right. Well, and those are just lower bore. We can move those more quickly. That's a 40-hour project versus a 200-hour project kind of a thing.
Okay. I think I get where you're going, maybe if we're not saying the same things, but I think I understand. You're just making a decision right now to outsource a particular element of your portfolio. And, you got to figure out, is that really what you want to outsource? Do you want to keep that in-house and outsource that other stuff that's kind of a day-to-day pain in your to somebody else?
And it is truly a perfect moment in time where we do not have projects on the shelf ready to roll out to build.
So you wouldn't have...
And yet we know we have this glut of money coming that will allow us to fix them. So we're trying to build up a bit. It's kind of like the old, assembly line routine. You've got all this stuff stacking up right here.
Yeah.
We need to start metering some of it out to get going.
No, I get that. It's just choosing which ones you're going to do. And in the past, when we didn't have that revenue stream, you wouldn't even consider bringing somebody on, long-term to do these projects that you don't have a guaranteed revenue stream.
It was wait until a culvert breaks and then go get it.
Exactly. Then you do
it,
and that's for sure outsourcing. What I'm saying is we have a point right now of a long-term 10-year revenue stream to do these projects. Does it make more sense to do the projects that we know we're going to be doing for the next 10 years, not just six culverts, probably closer to 30 eventually over that time frame, and outsourcing the little stuff that we do in-house that kind of is a pain. Somebody else can do that. And we focus on, we can do all these things. We're going to hire the horsepower to do this stuff because we're going to be able to depreciate that investment in this person for 10 years, that part of the project.
Right. I think our hope would be that this six buys us time to where next year we've got somebody on board and they can start cranking one or two of these out a year, getting out ahead of whether it's our guys building them in the house, more likely shipping them out to the Copelands, the Robcos of the world. But this gets us a bit of a head start, so design is a bit ahead of construction.
Before you hire somebody, how much of a backlog? Is this a continuing backlog? Or if you're good, do you have 300 of these out there that somebody that you hire a guy and he can work through? Is there ever a time when you say, well, nope, we're out of work for this guy?
We have about 400 bridges that are over 30 inches in size.
Culverts, yeah.
I'm sorry, culverts. And probably, what was it Jason said? There's like, how many were in a...
We've got 43 that are 30 inches above that we figure are in the kind of urgent, we need to do something in the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Okay.
So the feeling being we don't want to miss another summer. We can't go out and fix 43 culverts next year just for cash, if nothing else, but at least to start nibbling off the elephant.
So something you said, I maybe just caught it wrong. I just want to make sure I'm in the right frame of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Going through a contractor, we're going to get six done for once for $140,000, which will buy us...
It's a not to exceed.
Not to exceed.
So it could be less.
Could be less.
Typically it is with this firm.
Okay, which is great.
Yeah.
But that's a good salary for an individual or two. Well, with benefits and all that kind of stuff, we can get somebody cheaper than that.
Mm-hmm.
Engineering, more or less. But then when you said once we get somebody on, they do one or two a year.
As part of their package, in terms of the other things they do. The odds are we're not going to have somebody dedicated 100% to designing culverts. I can promise you won't have somebody doing
just
that.
Just was trying to justify 1 year, six... Permanent employee, too.
Yeah.
So.
And part of that is trying to look at, what's the word, not chain of command, succession planning as well. Do we find a guy that's a hot shot or a gal that's a hot shot that can start off with small ones and eventually they're doing one bigger project a year? To continue staying a bit ahead of construction. So, good point. So that's where that contract's at. It is a not to exceed, as was mentioned. If they get the six done and we're at 110, I would come back to the board to say, hey, they think they can do two more for that 30. What do you want to do? Or we can have that internal discussion, but we've bought ourselves a head start, if you will.
Just not to exceed. Just drawing from it feels as though we've got in years past, a really good assessment of our bridge infrastructure, about 103 bridges or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like we have the same confidence level, when I'm saying we, I mean you guys, about our culvert infrastructure.
Absolutely agree.
Okay. And you have a plan to address not just the six that are on the queue that you know of, but that the 30-some that we're not really sure about.
And we're not completely done with inspecting.
Okay.
There was a point in time when staff, we got overwhelmed with other work, and this was a lower priority. And
yeah,
so
this should be something you fill in the gaps.
Yeah. And so we're trying to catch up on this, partly for just the need and partly also to incorporate into the TSP mm-hmm. as needed.
Is this something that would be paid for in the TSP? I mean, you got to have an evaluation if you're going to talk about what is
your... They'll give you a bigger picture in terms of X percentage of your culverts fall into this range, X percent fall into this range. But,
based on the evaluation.
But a lot of it's going to come down to us in-house, just our inspector having more time to not be looking at driveways and hopefully going out looking at culverts.
Okay.
60% of our culvert data is pre-2010.
Yeah.
So we just have not been able to get caught up. And optimally, we'd have our inspector getting out there, hitting them all on a five-year rotation kind of a thing, hit 20% of a year.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of things that hopefully adding in those positions frees them up to get to more of.
The hardest part is the inspections really need to happen in the summer when there's no water. And that's also when construction happens, and so we're trying to move people around right now.
That's a priority.
Mm-hmm.
We've got significant infrastructure.
Absolutely.
Not just the culvert, it's the road that goes over it. Mm-hmm. And some of these are dedicated, that's it. That's your one way in and one way out over
there.
That's
which is part of
you
the
guys
reason.
Have all
that was some of the reasoning for some of the six that are on there.
A map, if we could have a GIS thing that says these are our red hot spots of priority one way in, one way out, 30-inch culvert. We haven't seen it in 12 years.
Yeah, and we're working on the GIS part. We're trying to finalize the road system.
Yeah.
And then we're going to, my first thought would be to move, correct me, John, if I'm wrong, but to move like the bridge layer over because we have a finite number of bridges and see how they look.
Yeah.
And then start moving over other infrastructure. And so then it would be easily.
No, and I've been at, that's something I was talking with Bob Noyes about, with just developing the islands for preparedness.
One way out.
And,
Right.
So I love that you're working
on that. And we've got that for bridges. We can certainly then do it for culverts as we get there. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
It's almost like maintaining an inventory of our forestry thing. We've got to do it or you don't know what you have.
Right,
and you don't know the liability out there. We're dinking around with these six culverts, not in a condescending way,
mm-hmm.
but there's that one out there that you have no idea, and it's like ready to
blow. It's already gone.
Yeah.
It's
the one nice thing, at least in 2010, we had looked at all of them. So.
Okay.
It really goes back to the mechanic analogy with trying to time that thing perfectly. We've got 580 culverts 30 inches or larger, and so just a bell curve tells you we ought to be replacing probably 10 a year.
You have how many?
580 that are at least 30 inch or larger.
Yeah. Are you sure?
Yeah.
You only have 580 miles, so that averages out. There's a 30 inch culvert
get out to
every mile.
Yeah. I mean, what's Reeves Creek's got six in a matter of a mile?
Clover Lawn has two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's too low.
Not off subject, but did you get the rocks out from underneath that guy out of his culvert on Brandon Hill so I don't hear it this year?
Oh, yeah, from 6 or 8 months ago, whatever that was.
Okay.
The ones that were there,
I can't
promise that he hasn't washed more down the hill, but the ones that were there,
I think this just plays into a long-term conversation with you about, where is your program, and that we have... a lot of times I feel like I hear this, and I was like, I don't really know how that factors into this.
What the big picture
is. But you have those, that you're working on the GIS stuff. Unfortunately, it takes a little bit of time, but I think it's valuable for us when you come forward. It's like, factors in, we're good to go.
Well, and admittedly, it has been triage for us for the last five, six, 7 years.
For sure.
So I'm excited for the future, but I'd be lying if I sat here and said we are as up to speed on all these studies as we should be. It's been, you fix
that
what's
you
burning
have a
down.
A plan to address it is really key, I think, for us, and feeling comfortable that we're not just going to be triaging forever. We've got resources, and now we've got a plan to get them.
And to Chuck's credit, he has been proactive in getting the culvert study, getting the seismic study, starting to turn, and then once the TSP's there, 18 to 24 months, we've kind of got a bigger roadmap forward. So.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. And we do have a database of all of our larger infrastructure. So it's a matter of getting that into the GIS.
Once the inspection's done, yeah, we could play with it then and figure out a threshold, because if you've got a map with 300 dots, then it starts to be overwhelming. But if it's the 50 worst, and we put them up on a map, and here's the ones that are one way in, one way out, that's useful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Okay.
All right.
Any more questions on that, Commissioner Morgan? AC Public Works is, C2.
Now we've got the fun one.
Federal Lands Access Program Grant.
Got serious money coming in. So I did. I put a few of them on PowerPoint. I can bring them to business session. I figured this might be a good one for folks to see, just because it involved a lot of federal money. And I just kind of gave you the maps. You can follow along a bit. So most of you have heard the story. I guess it actually started before Commissioners Morgan and DeYoung got here. But this is for land, for roads that access a large percentage of federal land, and Galise Road fits that bill. So we identified this project as a good candidate, and after the application, a couple meetings down here, it was approved for funding. So we'll run through real quick here. So there's the map you've got in front of you. You can see why I printed it out. It's just a bit small, but good map. Credit to Bob Noyce. And then the couple that I will point out, or as we go along, you'll notice there are the three turnouts of significance. You can kind of see them, numbers 11, 24, and 27. And as we get to them, I'll kind of tell you where they are on the ground. So here's the old way station that will be going away. This is across right by Indian Mary there. This will get knocked out, widened. It's a nice piece of...
What is that?
That's an old way station. So basically like the scale master would sit in there. So you can see the actual plates. Yeah. It gets better.
Yeah.
So there is the scale.
Oh, yeah.
You can see there in increments of... Oh, it gets better. Hold on. This is Al Capone's vault. So there's the plunger underneath it. As the weight goes down on the left, it fires that thing up into the bottom of the scale. There's the actual plate itself. And there's Al Capone in the back. Did you just lean forward with King Wendy?
I'm sure you didn't find Jimmy Hoffa down there somewhere.
Like a couple empty bottles of wine, yeah. So then, this is the first turnout. This is looking downriver, just past the bridge.
Is there any value to that scale that we could...
We've tried to give it away twice, three times.
What about a museum or something?
We've tried that as well. We even tried possibly.
I think the top part we can give away, but yeah, nobody had interest in the plates or anything else. I'm guessing the dial, somebody may well, but... Yeah, we've been trying.
How much would Cascade get for it?
The steel?
The metal?
$25 a ton.
A buck?
Yeah.
Just
$2.
I think you should keep that scale. I think you should keep it in.
We could leave it somewhere now. I mean, we've got
I think you should bring it into your office.
Well, like you've got your little deal with
the dial's kind of cool,
Find a corner for it.
Just the dial. Yeah, we could.
We shouldn't get rid of all our historic items. For the fun of it.
You guys are going to have a new facility in the next 5 years. Yeah. It would be really cool in the entrance or something.
Yeah, it wouldn't take much to disassemble that off the top.
No.
I think you should put a plate there and see how many people it takes to get it to move.
Yeah, right.
500-pound increments.
It's 500 a shot, yeah. So it's looking downriver. The bridge is just behind you. This would be the first turnout that we redo. So of these three, effectively it's going to be bringing in rock and then putting a hard surface on those. As you know, one of the big concerns to get down there in the summer, you get a fifth wheeler, somebody pulling along, they've got 73 cars going behind them. This is looking then just back up every other direction. You can see the bridge.
Do you want to pave that?
Yeah.
We'll bring in some rock and pave it so it's an actual pull out. Encourage folks to use it a little more if it doesn't look quite so scary to get into in your 32 footer or however long those things are. The second turnout, this is a little bit further down by Carpenter Island there, basically. And then the third turnout, we've got some stockpiled materials. I think that's actually part of the Galise slide from 6 years ago. And then this is getting on down towards... I'm sorry, that's Carpenter Island right there. So
that's the Grange over there across the way, isn't it?
Yep. So the bulk of this project is going to be the guardrail. And as you can see and have driven that, it's lousy. It's not to height. The post requirements are double now, half that spacing. It's low. It's beat up.
What about the cable rails that they use on the freeway? Can't use that here?
I don't know that they're rated for this treatment. I don't believe they are.
That's just to slow cars down so they don't go into the next lane. I think
this needs to keep them from actually going off. Out of the more of a deflection.
Out of the river. Are you going to consider using like the rust-colored
In a couple places, we have to. We actually have to use the wood on the front. Yeah, yeah. It's called for the rock wall there. Yeah, so it's actually called for there. The rest of it, I think it actually does.
Is it just because of historic or wilderness?
The wilderness, yeah. It's replacing stuff that's there. So yeah, the bulk of this project is the guardrail installation. It's like 19,000 linear feet. At $50 a foot installed, there's the bulk of the cost. You know, it's $900,000 a guardrail. It's not cheap.
How much?
It's about $900,000 for the guardrail. Wow. Yeah. The difficulty being with this is they just don't know what they're going to find until they start banging
people
away.
People don't understand that that's what infrastructure costs.
It is $50 a foot. Yeah. Guardrailing this table is $500 plus, assuming you don't hit something you can't get through.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Can you salvage any of that by sandblasting and repainting it?
We're gonna look and talk to the feds. They may want the contract to keep it clean to just say all of it goes to the contractor, but I'm guessing the contractor's not gonna have a need for 10,000 feet of beat up old guardrail.
We reduced our demolition by the recycling element of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just thinking,
if a piece of guardrail is $500 for this right here.
The steel's worth about $1, $2.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. That'll work into their bid as well.
It's probably $2 or $3. I mean, I buy a bunch of steel. Yeah. It's $2 or $3 a foot.
And the reality is there's probably one or two outfits that are going to actually bid on this. And customary would be that just it's considered ancillary and the contractor takes the guardrail away. But yeah, if we've got a need for some, we'll certainly grab it if they're okay with that. And given the low value, I'm sure they will. The bulk of this project, like I say, is the guardrail. What we're intending to do in-house to make our match is those three turnouts, take down the kiosk, refill that, and harden that whole area off. When we did the application, we put in for a 15% match just to make it gussied up a little better because just meeting the bare minimum, I don't want to roll the dice of 10.27, so we put it at 15%. But our actual match, they're now saying, no, we're fine with just as long as we make that 10.27. If we don't make it in kind, we just make it up with a cash payment at the end. But based on those four elements, I think we'll get there. So bottom line is about $1.65 million federal money coming in for that project. And by comparison, that's 20-plus percent of our budget. So we're pretty excited. This is a project that would have taken us 10 years to nibble at to get done.
This is very visible.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that go down Gleach Road, and that's
very.
Do
you want to talk about the other things that we've done in that area? I don't see this board that are the paving and the chip seal.
This is kind of part two.
It all kind of goes together that they picked this road and they're redoing it.
Full resurfacing two summers ago. Yeah, then this, and then the Merlin sidewalk going through town. So I mean, really, once you get off I-5, heading down this way is going to be showcased a whole lot more. And luckily, we're able to get it done under the guise of safety, which it is. But it's safety that we would have had a lot of trouble affording.
So. You mentioned the Merlin sidewalk project, and I think I saw an email between you and Julie, just your initial wag of $30,000, a foot and a half deep. Yeah. To do that conduit for lighting infrastructure and potentially some other, infrastructure. Would it be broadband or something?
Julie had mentioned that. I think that was that fourplex she was talking about earlier. Yeah.
So there would be an additional cost that wouldn't be covered by the Merlin sidewalk project of $30,000, and we needed, the answer is, can we come up with that? Or the no. And he's just going to do the sidewalk project the way he's going to do it. But I don't think I want to wait too long on having that discussion and saying, the board's decided not to fund that. What's the validity? Are we putting in $30,000 for a $500,000 lighting project that we won't have the money to do? Or, it's a bridge to nowhere is the conduit if we don't actually have the intent of putting lighting
and
out there.
If
you're
don't,
putting infrastructure
the
in
while
it's tore up versus tear it up later, too.
The way thing, we could tear it up later, but I mean, if you put that four-pipe, four-quadrant conduit in there for $30,000, you're done. Whatever you do, if you ever did decide to do a project up there, they're going to take that into consideration that they don't have to rip everything up and put in their own conduit. There's an awful lot of things that could go through that.
We could, and what we could plan on doing is just having that as a separate item or even addendum for the contract. So that would buy Julie, 4, 5, 6 weeks? I mean, I think we're hoping to have this under contract by
mid-March.
She's got a meeting up in Merlin for February 21st. It might be...
So maybe she'll have a better idea. This is a 1 in 10 or a 50-50 type thing.
I mean, they're not coming up with the money to do this. It's really, you know, if they say that's a priority, yeah, it'd be great. But I think you said showcase piece. You got bells and whistles. Everything else looks pristine. Mm-hmm. The lighting and sidewalks down Merlin, it's inevitable. It should happen. So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Arthur can find the money. And,
well, and was she trying to do it with economic development dollars?
I think that's what she was proposing.
And I know she says she's got a couple of things in the hopper she wants to come bring to us, but we haven't heard them yet, so it's...
I think that there's resources there, because I haven't felt that we've been...
I think it's a good project.
And honestly, and I'm saying 6 weeks, we want that under contract, but if it's an addendum, it could potentially be longer than that once they're out there actually... digging and scooping. She could have as much as a couple months, but obviously the sooner the better.
Yeah, it'd be nice before the contract was signed to have the negotiation happen.
Yeah.
So.
Are we talking about the sidewalk project yet, or is that still coming?
It's out to bid as of yesterday for the contractor.
So we're cutting off that right turn lane off of Pleasant Valley and forcing everybody to go wait for traffic to back up now? I'm looking at the blue line.
No. Just squaring it off. Because folks, what's happening now is they're just going... east, yeah. And they're straightening out that turn
line now. You have to turn in your...
So coming off of Pleasant Valley, though, half the group goes right towards on Merlin Road, which, and the others come to the stop sign to take that left turn.
Yes, which they still can. We're just trying to stop this motion that's happening a lot, where people are just bombing straight through here. Yeah.
And I'm not saying I've ever done that.
Yeah, right.
What's the red flag she's asking?
We've had the tube counters out there. We saw you.
Yeah.
No, so it's just forcing folks to square that turn off more.
Okay, but I mean, there's still something, too. If we drop that down to one lane at that stop sign, it's going to back up traffic towards the tracks for people waiting for a left turn off of there, so the right turn people can't easily get by anymore if that blue line is cutting off that whole lane.
It looks to me like that if you only have one car in queue there. And anyway, if you had one or two in queue at that stop sign, nobody can get by you to go right.
They usually do, though. I mean, the right turn gets through, it's the left that gets stuck. Right. And it's not too long past Peach to get back to the tracks right there, so.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just curious the impact that will have, because it's been that way a long time.
Right, right. Yeah. Folks using sneak pass there.
Neil had a traffic engineer look at something on there. I wasn't...
We can go back, don't check. Technically, it's not...
Do you have a traffic on Pleasant Valley turning back on?
Turning back. I don't know if we have that specific motion. I mean,
you had traffic counts through Merlin at 6,000 to 7,200.
Yeah.
We have them on every road, but we typically don't do the intersections.
We wouldn't know what motion they're making.
With our technology, that would require somebody to stand out there and count.
And the hard part is it's not signed as a turn lane anyway, so technically...
But do you have a traffic count on Pleasant Valley, though?
Yeah.
So, and what was that? Do you remember offhand?
I don't.
Because that'd give you kind of some kind of idea.
You still don't know which motion. We don't know which movement they're making. Are they going left or right? All we would know is how many cars are going past.
Well, and how many people cut Merlin Avenue up to catch Pleasant Valley at the upper end anyhow. So it's to bypass coming back to that right turn.
Right.
But. Yeah, and part of it's to slow people down because we are with the sidewalks and hopefully increasing the pedestrians out there.
It'll make it interesting for the parade route.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't received any notice for the parade people yet.
For this year?
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it usually 1st of May?
Yep. Yeah. It's in May.
We should get notice the week before that, I guess, too.
Yeah.
So
there's
not. Yeah. We'll leave them the keys to the excavator, and they can use it as a float.
So on the flat project, effectively, this is just the board deputizing me to sign the agreement moving forward.
Sounds good.
For that flat one, yeah.
And then just another FYI, the next flap opens up here. It's actually open. We're meeting with Forest Service in the next week or so. We've got three potentials, including Waters Creek, but to talk with them in terms of priorities.
Is there a way they can get a better name? Or does it affect the outcome at all?
Which one?
That we have flaps.
Flaps, yeah. All right. They all turn into a flap, yeah. No, we've got about three we're looking at. I know the Forest Service has priorities as well, so we're going to try and marry that a little closer to what they want to see, because we obviously need a good endorsement from them.
Is delegating you the signing authority on what's almost $1 million contract consistent with our policy, or should we have the liaison as well? It just seems like it's a pretty significant jump from your discretion at 25, 50, whatever. And then I would imagine the board would want to sign contracts of $1 million or such. But if you're okay with it, I'd like Dan on that too.
I got no skin in the game.
Yeah.
As long as they send us a check.
I don't want to bring up something else.
Yeah, and I think all they do is call just an authorized signer, so yeah, they don't always say who it's got to be. So
if it just has to be one of
sure.
you,
sure, okay, we can put them both on, that's fine.
Should we make a motion that we've approved it? Do we need a motion? To bless you to sign above your signing power?
I think you just got his report.
Contract or the federal land tax?
The federal land.
Federal land tax.
Right. Making me the authorized representative.
Feels as though that we're not ever going to sign a contract, and that would be a board decision at a weekly business session. The substitute of
you will the board will still sign that contract with the contractor for $1.1 million, whatever it ends up being.
That's
yes.
what I'm talking.
You're
about.
You're just basically giving me the authorization to enter into this agreement with the feds to say, yeah, we'll put up our 15% against your $1.5 million.
But each individual project will come to the board.
It'll likely be just, we're just going to have one contractor. Yes, I will come in here to you with a contract in a couple months for $1.6 million or whatever.
Makes sense to me. Okay, so that one we can sign in-house.
Okay.
Sweet. And one, we're going to move forward to the weekly business session with six covers.
Mm-hmm.
Contract.
Okay, I'll be there for both. Do you want me to plan on this for a business session?
I think that would be a great presentation.
I think it would be, too. Yeah.
Definitely make sure you reference the other project. Elements of that you put a bow on it with
tie it all together.
Tie it all together that this is what we're doing out there in the whole Merlin area out there.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
And the fact you're doing this one might ease some of the discontent over that one.
Do you have one terrible construction season in that area, or just have two sort of lousy summers back to back? I don't
know. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Okay,
thank you. Item number 3A is quarterly department updates, information technology, John McCaffrey.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
I just have a single topic. And do you have a copy? Yes, you do. The one with the diagram on the top.
Dan likes his pictures.
I do, too. This one's a good one.
Here's what I should have been looking at. You got off easy.
So we need new storage. We need to replace our storage area network. And the reasons why, planning more than doubled our archive space on the archive by scanning all those documents.
And they're not done yet, are they?
No, they're not. It's taken quite a bit of my time, actually. The assessor new system is going to go on to our storage network as opposed to the system it's on now, which is a wholly separate box. The encryption requirements of CGIS say that data has to be encrypted at rest and en route, and right now we can't meet that criteria. Mm-hmm. It's the one sore spot that we have with CGIS. This will take care of that. And our old system's just really old and high maintenance. It cost. It was part of the reason we've had two failures in the last 2.5 years where people have been completely locked out of their system for hours. And it's a good way to spend capital expense versus operating expense because the more people that we have to put on our current situation, let's not deal with people. Let's use technology. So we put an informal request for bids out in November and December. We got four bids back, and three of the bids are on this diagram. Pure Storage and Dell are in the upper, what's called the magic quadrant. If you ever see one of these quadrant graphs, it typically means the highest return, lowest risk. In this case, it is the completeness of vision versus the ability to execute. Pure and Dell were in the highest category. Fujitsu, which was in the Challengers quadrant, was the second one. On the second page that you have there, which is Pure Storage versus the Dell Compellent, which is the spreadsheet. Do you have that one? Or is it on the back of this one?
Got on page two.
Page two. There you go. So the bids we got back from Pure Storage and Dell Compellent both fall within our budgeted amounts. We budgeted $238,000 in our equipment reserve account for storage and for new servers. We're putting off getting new servers right now because of the issues that I discussed with you last time about the Intel chip and its vulnerability.
How paper was supposed to, technology was supposed to save us money, time, blah, blah, blah. This doesn't look cheap at all.
No, it's not cheap. This is expensive. But it does a lot of stuff that our others... we have about $80,000 now tied up in the storage. This is going to increase it, but it's also going to make us a better company because we have it. So I have two models to look at. One is Pure Storage and one is Dell. Dell is a traditional model. You buy the equipment, and you pay maintenance. It lasts 5 years. You buy it again. So in the first 6 or 7 years, when I look at it, the costs are lower. But when you get out to 10 years, costs are higher. Pure Storage, you pay more in maintenance, but they build in equipment replacement. So after 3 years, you pay for your second round of maintenance. They give you new controllers. They don't give you, you've paid for them. They come out, they install them. There's no migration. It's a pretty straightforward operation. You do it again in year 7, and you've extended the life of your hard drives to 10 years. So when you look at a 10-year cost model, the Pure Storage is a better price point. It also has some pros and cons that we really like from an IT side. It's better management software. It actually alerts you when there's a problem. It alerts Pure because they're always logged into it. So if they get into a problem...
That's the Pure Storage
that's
side?
That's the Pure Storage side. So from that standpoint, it's just better, easier to manage. It's faster. It's all flash memory versus spinning drives and flash memory. It has built-in encryption versus the Dell Compellent, which has an outside encryption key manager. The replacement hardware is provided. The cons, additional storage is expensive. If we screw up the estimate of how much storage we're going to need over 10 years, it will probably be $30,000 for an extra to get us through the end of the 10 years. The flash drives.
You pay for an 11th year for 10.
Yeah. And it's more expensive for replication. If we ever get to a point where we're replicating on two different data stores, like, say, AllCare does. They have a data store in here, and they have a data store off-site, and it replicates in both so that if there was a Cascadia event, they could automatically shut one down and the other one would come up. We need to get there someday. But Pure, we would be looking at doing another Pure installation at some point in order to make that happen.
But that would put you right up to Dell in the after 10 years. So if one's 28, you got 14, and 14 is $30,000.
You'd need the same thing as Dell.
Yeah, you would need similar stuff for Dell.
Yeah.
But Dell has more ability to do it with other software, other hardware software packages. So pros for Dell, it's less expensive through year 6. We'll never outgrow it in its lifespan, which is going to be, they say 5 years. We make 5 years always 7. We typically just run our equipment past its prime. In this case, we don't want to do that. But cons, it has an external keystone manager, just adds complexity. You don't really want to get into what that means, but encryption is outside the system.
Well, and not listed there is that they replace it in the 5 years. You have that migration process, which is the potential of losing data.
Tough to lose it, but you're right. That is part of the process. And I think I have it there as the when we do have to change. Like with the Pure Storage, when they put in the new controllers, it's seamless. The data stays residing on those hard drives. The controllers just come in. When you have to do a forklift for the Dell situation, you'd still have them come on site and do it, but you do have a migration. It makes life more complicated. Usually means downtime. And it's not all flash. It's what's called tiered storage. It uses flash for the high availability, high density stuff, and uses spinning drives for RS drive that never gets touched. It hasn't been touched in years, that kind of thing. Neither model is wrong that way, but all flash is pretty much the best the technology offers right now. They're both about the same ballpark. We're only talking 7-8% difference. Our recommendation right now is the Pure Storage model. I do have a call tomorrow morning with a North Carolina agency that was in this exact same situation where they were on Dell, were going to move to Pure and decided to stay with Dell. We want to have a discussion with them.
Right.
Okay. And it is the last day of Dell's year. And they've come down in price a couple times. We've squeezed them. I'm thinking I'm going to squeeze them one more time and see what that looks like. And we're going to ask Pure Storage at the same time for a little bit more storage so that we're more confident that we'll make it through the 10-year cycle that we're planning out. 10 years is very hard to predict.
Sure, it's impossible.
Yeah.
I think that we didn't use all the discretion necessary to make sure that we were scanning everything and planning that needed to be scanned. They just scanned everything, apparently. And I'm thinking that somebody could have gone through and said, we don't need that. That's a file that we can keep or pitch. The applicant should have had it. But I think we just put everything on there. And so going forward, we'd need a policy if we adopted the Pure one to say that, you know, somebody figures out what we're putting on there and making sure that it isn't.
And one good thing about these new systems is that they tell you that. This folder has been not accessed. You need to, is this archivable?
Evaluate,
get
it
off. So if we go with the Pure, we're thinking we'll reutilize one of our older regular spinning drive storage area networks. We will move the S drive, for instance, off of there. We'll keep an S drive with last year's data, everything
right.
that people have used last year. And if they need something, we go get it.
Yeah.
Because
that sounds great.
You know, that kind of thing to lower demand.
Forgive me. I don't know. I'm not a tech person. Isn't there an option for leasing space on the cloud, which has the encryption element, it has the dispersed redundant element to it as well, and there isn't a need to convert to a different in time, and you can just buy more space when you need it?
So, and it's in here, one of the models we're looking at Pure is one of the reasons we don't think we'll ever outgrow its storage need is because we're going to eventually be moving to the cloud.
Okay.
The first thing I'll bring to you next year is moving Outlook to the cloud, moving it to completely to high availability to everybody everywhere, not inside our network. There's a lot of good reasons. I don't want to go into that.
Seriously, that sounds great.
Yeah, and Office 365 is a very hot topic now. Most counties have probably gone to Office 365 all the time, access to their Office product.
I mean, just the liability associated with hacking, right? That you're not converting direct into the system through the email? Is that a positive?
It's a positive that the cloud is actually more secure storing emails than ours is. We don't have a great... we don't feel extremely vulnerable in that end.
Good.
But believe it or not, a lot of people don't understand that Amazon and Microsoft are actually pretty good at securing the data. These breaches that you hear about are typically not on Amazon or Microsoft.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm asking that we put this on next Wednesdays. And
they're both Northwest companies, though. I think that's why. Sorry. It's been an hour and a half.
You're real funny.
And that's why I'm trying to move through this. But what I'd like to do is finish up the last couple of things we do, get you the paperwork tomorrow for next Wednesday's meeting, and recommend that we spend the $126,000 that's already budgeted to get a new storage area there.
Unless you hear from the West Virginia compelling reason not to.
Exactly.
Okay. I don't want it to be just based on fiscal thing. I think that there's bigger, you know, a penny wise and a pound foolish for a 10-year program that saves you a couple of bucks now,
yeah,
and it may not be the right move.
Actually, Pure is actually cheaper over 10 years, but we think it's actually a better product, too.
Yeah. I mean, if Dell comes in for their last day
right. and
says something, nah, I'm okay with, you know, if it's a wash, then you go with the one you want.
Okay.
And that's my position on it.
Is the farther the dots over in the leader's quadrant, does that mean?
So in this case, Pure Storage is... has a higher complete.
Right.
Yeah, they're all the way to the right, so they have the highest completeness of vision, which is how does their technology measure against all the newest technologies?
Okay.
And then Dell is up a little higher, so that means they execute better.
Okay.
But both had extremely good recommendations from fellow vendors. Umpqua Community College uses the Pure Storage solution, and they've been really good partners in doing references for us before.
Okay.
And so we've been happy with them.
So you're comfortable moving that to with your amendment that it caveat that we don't get anything back from it?
Yeah.
I think John would bring it back to us and let us know why.
I
trust your feedback. So
if you don't get anything, would you just bring it to us?
I will bring it to you if I catch if something changes.
I won't be here, but I give my blessing.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll bring the paper. I'll get the paperwork to you tomorrow for next Wednesday. And that's all I have.
Okay. Thanks
very much,
John. Appreciate it,
John.
Item number 4A is finance report and business update from Arthur O'Hare. A is the CDBG amendment number 1.
Thank you. Arthur, I wouldn't be disappointed if you ever brought like popcorn or something. I mean, your stuff is just really.
Yeah, everybody else seems to have.
You know, been there, done that. I'm just kidding.
Those are going away, by the way. And I saw Wally eat one yesterday, but I don't know who else has been in here.
I had one
yesterday.
That's it. There's three.
There we go.
John's ready.
Watch this.
Guys are talking about.
Yeah,
he's going to cure his ills.
We just want that to sweeten up your attitude there.
No more jury duty. You need to get better.
That's right.
Thank you, sir.
So, briefly then, this is for the Food and Friends, RV College Food and Friends, the federal money. They freshened up their bid estimates on the construction costs, realized that under the current conditions it's going to cost more money. They asked for more money from Business Oregon, and Business Oregon is giving them more money, and that's what this amendment is providing an additional $159,000 to the project.
Did they get the full amount? Because they were fundraising. They weren't just asking Business Oregon, they were asking other sources.
No,
Did they get what they needed?
The remaining balance is to be funded by their own private resources, yeah.
Okay.
No additional cost to the county, per se.
But isn't it like $79,000 or something like that?
$104,000. They have to raise an additional $104,000, yeah.
Gosh, this is a project. You'd almost wondered if we should even have gotten involved with.
I was looking in my file, 2015. I've got memos going back to 2015
right.
Talking about this. Yeah, so
it
did take.
It was 2005? Well, they were pigeonholed in 4-H extension with the expectation to go
sooner rather than later that they would have a long term.
So technically, back.
When the church thing started. This is going to be a slam dunk. And now they got the block grant, and then when you get the grant, they come up and, parking lot, why?
Yep, and the water and the runoff.
What I keep coming back to is the alternative is how much money does the county have to contribute to this? How much money does the COG have to contribute to this? Very little. So you either take it to build a $106,000 bus stop, or you don't get a bus stop.
They were only... $92,000, I think.
Only. That's good. So what I'd recommend, this does not, the board already passed order to allow the board chair to approve these projects as they go along.
And this is just added from the amendment to it.
Right. And so technically, and I've talked with legal about it, that we don't need to take this to a business session or have as a board have already decided to provide the chair with their with the authority to make these. But I wanted to bring it to your attention, the full board's attention.
It was alarming though that I know that when we asked them that, hey, look, this is the time frame we're looking at. We're wanting to move over there. We're wanting other things for that building. Well, okay, we'll aim for that, but it may take longer. They haven't started.
They have done nothing.
And, of course, now the cost is more. I know they had the staffing loss, so that's something. But still, so when they were asking for contributions and people coming up with more money, it's kind of like, if you guys had not delayed, would it have cost more? So.
Well, and I don't think they're done.
No.
I don't think they're done with this amendment's not going to get. They still, the longer these projects take, the harder it is to get outside funding. Mm-hmm. because the people that are that were going to give money to it, they haven't seen any traction yet.
Or they already did. The well is dry. Who else are they going to go to?
Exactly. Yeah. Getting that last 104,000 or whatever they're going to need, that's really a heavy lift there.
What's interesting is the board hasn't provided any input about the things that they said they reduced costs on to get it into, you know, maybe what you had appropriated already. I'm not sure what they're doing for $1.4 million. I mean, there was a kitchen in there that was probably better than the one they're using right now. And there's space. It's a sanctuary. Take out the pews, throw in some tables and chairs, and people have a place to eat.
Exactly.
Are they building a
granted, I don't want to eat on carpet necessarily, because if you spill, you can't clean it up as well. But still.
Tile the carpet.
Yeah,
pull it out.
Something. You know, it feels like I'm not sure what this. But you know what? At the end of the day, and your guys' term, maybe, you'll be free of this program and able to just kind of wish them well, show up, cut a ribbon. And it'll be good for the community.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think we need to be conscious of past my term is that we make sure that the scope of what they're trying to achieve is not just Food and Friends there. Grants Pass doesn't have a senior center.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
You've said it clearly to them, and we need to make sure that we're hearing that.
We need to make sure that you keep that mantra so that they're providing a comprehensive amount of senior services at the senior center. Not that there's inventing another one somewhere all the way across town. So poor old Grandma Betty has to go from there to get her meal and there to get her whatever to check out a library. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a big enough facility, one-stop shop.
It seems to me it's been a while since Michael's been over here. Maybe it's time we ask that he come back and touch base.
I think that wouldn't be such a bad idea. I mean, what is your time frame? How does this change where
well,
we're
at? Before they're finalized on what they're about to build, that needs to be determined. Are you doing more than foods and shelter?
One of the other things that I was thinking about is the feasibility element, the prioritization of what is it that you're getting done, fixed, ready to go, to move in. A lot of people move into, you know, a house before it's totally finished. For the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months, they're working on paint and doing some of those final details. They could totally finish the kitchen. The dining area and make that transition, because it'll be 4 or 5 months after they finish for Food and Friends to make that move over. I think that there's a way to like phase it and they can get it done quicker. Just a thought.
Well, and only they can tell us where they're at with it.
Yeah, maybe it is, maybe it is.
I mean, so they mowed the lawn, but...
So you'd like to see Michael come back over and give us an update?
Do you guys remember how long it's been since they were here?
It's been a while.
It's been a while. The last time he was here was right after Pat had died. I don't think he gave us a full...
That was a brief meeting.
Yeah, he didn't, you know, he was pretty picking up. He said, hey, you know.
That was a year ago.
I think he's been here since then.
Yeah.
He definitely has.
I contacted them a couple weeks ago and said that the board might want to meet with you. Do you... blah, blah, blah. And so...
He's always willing.
They're willing, yes. They're very willing to come here and give us an update on the project.
Let's do that. Let's schedule that. So when we can get him over here.
Is that something
not
then, I think?
Not between now and February.
No, I won't be back.
So something Wendy will take care of?
Yep.
With
she's glad to do
Cavalera.
That.
The other thing then, so you have the paperwork. I believe Wendy has the paperwork to be signed, so we can get that back to the Business Oregon. The other thing I wanted to bring up is that next Wednesday, the business session for February 7th, I put on the schedule for the auditor to come in and give a brief update on our audit, so our fiscal year audit. I told her she had 3 minutes. She requested 5.
You so, got her to 4. Progress made.
We'll see how long it takes. But just to keep it brief and to the point and focus. So next week, so a week from today.
Well, these are professionals. They make presentations to every municipal that they do. And if we do have additional questions,
you know, when they get to Josephine County, they just have to divvy up, explain both dollars.
Please extend my thanks to her for accepting my absence.
Okay.
Okay. So you all set to go on that? You get with Wendy on that?
Yeah, I already. Yeah, she's scheduled on there.
Okay.
So that's all I have.
Any other questions of Arthur?
Maybe.
Take your phone and see if anybody.
Can you make a motion on this?
called in.
You need a motion on this?
I don't, because I already have a motion from
the
board order.
We've previously authorized.
Yeah, board order from prior that delegated to the chair.
And I'll sign that as soon as we get done here so you can take it home with you.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Across the hall.
Carry it.
I don't want to get you all the way across the hall and make you come
back.
You
have to come all the way back. Well, I might get two of these little
trying to cut down on the amount of fuel you're burning. Any other business? Item number five?
No, I think I'm cut out.
Commissioner Morgan? Okay.
Thank you.
No, I'm waiting for six.
Okay. 6A, letter of support for early detection notification system for earthquakes on the West Coast. Commissioner Morgan will bring up the shake alert letter.
Did you guys have time to read the letter that Sarah prepared?
It's a robust first paragraph.
It'll be Sarah that gets the credit.
Okay. I think we'll take a look at it and then I'd make a motion. Did we already approve this? Make a motion that we approve the
letter of intent.
Letter of intent.
I'll second that.
I'm in favor. All those say aye.
Aye.
None opposed. Motion carries.
And you guys are okay with me signing with the agreement of the commissioners, or do you want all three signatures on it?
I think I'm okay with just you signing.
Legal read through the only request they had was that we just say that I'm authorized to sign on behalf of the board, so they're seeing that it's more than just me.
You should say liaison to the program.
Okay.
Okay. That'll do it.
Liaison commissioner, in my mind, that would say that you've been granted authority.
6B is matters from commissioners.
I reviewed a PowerPoint for proposed to the. I know what Arthur. Arthur and I are working on getting another interview scheduled for that third party, but we've got to get that done ASAP. Back to what I was going to say before was I reviewed a PowerPoint presentation for community corrections, I want to say, or juvenile.
Yes.
I want to say it was like 7, 8, 9 slides. It's too long. I think we need to limit.
Yeah, we cut out a couple of those because they were repetitious.
Yeah, maybe getting it down to...
If I reminded Nate that I said practice in front of a mirror and stop it at 5 minutes, if not, a little bit...
Rule of thumb is one slide a minute.
Yeah, and I was thinking 4 or 5 slides is
more
than five.
Yeah, so, I mean, as far as... If they try to do more, realize that however long they have a slide, they average...
Yeah.
Presentations ends up being 1 minute slide. So otherwise, people haven't had a time to look at it anyhow, and they're going too fast if they're doing more than that.
Okay. I'll bring that up to him, see if there's anything you can cut out of it.
I think it would be great to work with John for him to put that package total together, obviously, at the beginning of next week. And then maybe he and I can sit down and say, yeah.
We really want to make this look professional.
Yeah.
So something I would like to throw out there is that we should consider as part of our promotion and branding is that we at some point approve a presentation font or something like that that's county.
So when I worked at NRECA, not to interject, but there was I developed an NRECA, National Rural Electric Cooperative Association, style guide.
Mm-hmm.
So it was for everything. It was for this is what your headings on your memos are going to look like. This is the salutation that you use at the end of your email. People have all varying degrees. You have a disclosure on it. I don't have a disclosure, for public records or whatever. All of that stuff should be figured out. We are spending a lot of money archiving people who have really pretty stuff beside their email. That email is 5 times the size, bit-wise, is my email that has nothing. We should be looking at that, all of that, and that would be included in a style guide. And it would be, this when you're presenting on behalf of the county in a PowerPoint, this is what it looks like.
Yeah. Well, and you know when you see certain things... I know that company because of that color scheme. I know that. And so it's just something we should consider.
It's another thing that Arthur and I were chatting about. We have orders that the boards of the past have approved in the thousands. Since 1964, I think we've got archived. I wanted to go through, and we didn't take action to send out the cease and desist order that the board passed 2 weeks ago to all of the managers. Tree fell in the forest, nobody heard it. Because we didn't act on it.
Right. You going want somebody from another department just not knowing what we passed.
Yeah. So I hire a new manager, and I say, okay, so what are the rules? What are those orders that I'm supposed
to
do?
Do we have to learn 2,000 orders over 50 years?
A lot of them have no application, but I can't go through all 2,000 in my current capacity and evaluate which are those orders that match up to that cease and desist and should be in a procedures manual for all managers so they can go through when they're hired and say, oh, yeah, I remember that. That's the rules. So we need to figure out something. When JJ came in, we took the procedures and policy and separate them. So we have procedures and we have personal policy manual. And that's a good thing. And we just need to make sure that the procedures is updated with orders that should make it in there. There are probably orders of the past boards that are not relevant anymore and frankly are maybe...
Should be rescinded.
Should be rescinded.
Like you can't tie your horse in front of
yeah.
Well, you should still be able to.
Yeah, but you have to clean it up.
That's an ordinance. An order would be that we wouldn't allow staff to do
blah, staff blah, to put you the know horse what I mean? In front of the court.
So somebody's got to go through all those things, or they're really irrelevant, and I don't want them to be irrelevant. I haven't come up with like a substitute for an order that would be like another mechanism. We have proclamations, resolutions, orders, and ordinances. So if I do come up with like a fifth one that is like, oh, well, we should call them
good ideas.
You know, sadly, you would almost have to go through everyone first and categorize them because you're like, okay, I'm going to start at the beginning and say, okay, well, that one's not relevant anymore. Well, gosh, in 15 years, there's another order that already rescinded it. So why is that even on the books? You know, is something else changed that we don't know? You'd almost have to go through the full things and categorize them so you know what's still there or not or what's...
Exactly. I thought
we
about...
We need to codify the orders.
Yeah, I asked that question. The only orders that are codified within our ordinances or our code is those that are referenced by ordinance. So the ordinance that governs our weekly business sessions calls for... changes to that ordinance being done by order. So you don't have to wait 90 days and two readings of separated by 13 days. You can do it. The board can switch a weekly business session to an evening or a morning. You don't have to write a new ordinance for that. That's an order that would be referenced in the code, but that's it. If it doesn't have an origination of an ordinance, you're never going to know that order even exists until you go to Laserfish, which I don't know how to use. But we're working on some sort of like a how would we do this? And who's going to be assigned to know whether or not an order is relevant or not? There's five of us who could probably make that decision.
It's could not we hire easy. Attempt to enter them into some spreadsheet for documentation?
We have the new years in a spreadsheet that I can just review quickly. It's the older ones. And I feel like the older ones, you know, more than 20 years old, maybe we don't have to, we could get to that when we have tons of free time. But in the last 10 years, there's probably orders there that are relevant. And somebody should go through them. I'm not sure that's my job, but somebody should do it. So,
I guess for me, my question...
You're going to be spending some time on a plane.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that on the plane, because
that is... your job? Oh, that looks cool. Said no one ever.
You can do that on the plane, either that or set up a 14 little girl.
I am trying to think of...
I think the
documentation, it's kind of like us having policies and procedures. Where are the orders even kept for people to access to see what's current? And even a system of documentation of knowing what's there, because you're absolutely right, we passed it, so. Most departments don't even know about Laserfish. And so
I don't
know
about that. I think some do.
Okay.
I would say most do. Because they're looking for their stuff.
The departments I've worked for in the county or volunteered for do not.
Okay.
Oh, that's only two.
That's good to know.
Or three, you know, kind of thing. But they have other archive systems.
Yeah.
If you guys are volunteering me to take that on, I'm willing.
No, I think you've got a fair amount.
I'm almost thinking attempt to document to start.
I think we need, before we get started on something of that magnitude, let's get out of some of the real pressing things we have within the next 2 to 3 months. If we start to see a little slack time, then there isn't. Gosh, we've had something big every month and a half, 2 months.
And frankly, that's not a good use of a board member's time. If you have free time to be doing something like that, then we need to talk.
I honestly would rather hire somebody to go through Laserfish and find them all, categorize them into a spreadsheet or some searchable format that we can see. Where did it initiate? Was there a time frame? Did it expire? You know, all that kind of stuff can be delineated in a format that we can sort it quickly. And then it's not us doing it.
Okay. I just wanted to bring up that our cease and desist didn't, I don't know that it made it out to people.
Never went anywhere.
We might want to send that out from you, you know, by the way, last year or last month.
By the way, Commissioner Harris said.
And I think it should go out to all staff, not just department heads.
Yeah.
Because then it's on department heads whether they choose to pass it on to staff who are making those decisions in the field.
Ultimately, the department head is the responsible party.
That's true.
So,
okay.
It's hard to send out an all staff to people who, you know,
yeah,
they don't have.
Don't know why am I getting this?
Okay.
I think the managers that have the interaction are going to know that they need to do that or not, and that's their job.
I have one other item.
Fire away.
Monday there's a managers meeting. It's my rotation. I brought it up a couple weeks ago that I won't be able to attend February or March. So I would ask that we just kind of bump up whoever.
You're looking at me to bump?
Whoever y'all are so that so I'd be available in April. So whoever's turn that is,
well,
if they want to swap
I'll
with
put
me.
Put on my phone. I can
so
probably do
if
that.
Somebody else wants to go.
Prep over the weekend and then we'll be able to have quite a bit of discussion.
And then the other thing is
is there anything you'd like brought up at the manager's meeting that I should bring up or you want that? Can't wait.
Just a reminder that any liaison roles should be scheduled to meet with their folks before our meeting on the 15th.
Anything else?
No. But I do have another one for y'all. So Monday after AOC, I'm going to be heading over to Mahonia Hall. The governor's got a reception for Regional Solutions. Other than we're looking at the expansion of our water sewer facilities at the Grants Pass Airport and broadband countywide. Are there any other projects that we are kind of
the
pushing?
The fire suppression reservoir at
Ivy
is something that Larry was supposed to have the preliminary engineering report and scoping potential costs. So I would reach out to him to see, you know, throw that out there. We really want so. They're applying for more funds. Right now they've got $700,000 or something. You know, it was minuscule to where we've got.
He submitted it to Julie and Arthur.
Yep. Great. So take a look at that and see. You know, you just need to do a high level right now. But we need a queue of $2 million worth of projects.
Okay.
If they do get their 1.3 shore up. I don't want to leave anything on the table. And it's almost like trying to get to sustained yield, your ASQ with the BLM. Don't put $2 million out there. Put $3 million worth of projects. Put $4 million worth of projects. So maybe the lighting situation in Merlin as it relates to public safety and economic development. I don't know. I just think we should throw stuff at the wall and let them decide what sticks.
Okay.
But more rather than less.
Yeah.
I'll see if Julie will send me her list of proposed things pending.
She's got some other stuff, too. You know, a big one that is going to probably be regionally significant is we need to dredge
Lake
Selmac.
Yeah.
And this is probably what you should be talking about at the manager's meeting, the Regional Solutions. Have Larry start with his proposal about the engineering on the east side taxiway. Simon and I went over and pitched it. Next thing you know, we got it funded. So come up with those ideas. It has to be, you know, like an economic driver, regionally significant. Water has been really good in Jackson County, so.
I present it from an economic environment, or economic and environmental standpoint as far as the pitch for Lake Selmac that we just had 100 fish die because of the weeds and the dredging needed.
Oxygen.
So this is how it would be a tourist destination with economic drivers into our this area. But
now I need to ask a question because you want that for the manager's meeting on Monday morning at 8 o'clock.
No, it's 1 o'clock on Monday afternoon.
1 o'clock on Monday afternoon. You're not going to be here. He's not going to be here.
I'm here. I don't know why.
I'm
going to
be here.
What's going on at AOC? I have a 4 to 5.
I'm not at AOC on Monday.
I thought you said AOC on Monday.
Sorry.
That's
just to clarify. I looked ahead.
So this Monday
is DC, which is the manager's meeting.
Next.
I then went to the AOC the following, the 12th. My apologies.
Because there is an AOC meeting in Salem from 4 to 5.
Yes, that's a telephone call.
Yeah. I didn't know if you were going to be in town for that.
I was just wondering what
I'll be able to take part by phone.
I just was wondering for the report to the manager's meeting, the dredging of Lake Selmac is brand new to me, so when am I supposed to find out all the information on what that is to give them at the manager's
meeting? Oh, it's on your email. We all got an email on it today.
Okay. Today, and I'm
you don't need to be an expert.
I've been concentrating on something else today, so.
No, it's all good.
Sarah's the expert. You already know everything you need to know.
So from what Simon was saying.
I'm just throwing out examples. There could be something out there that we don't even know.
Each manager should be looking at opportunities for a project in their area that could potentially be taken to regional solutions that we're looking for a way of funding $3 million worth of projects that would be an economic driver to our area that regional solutions in the state would want to partner with us.
I've been told from regional solutions that they do have quite a bit of money available, and if we're not there...
So our manager should be thinking outside the box of those projects that we can take over there.
The legislature only approved statewide enough for each region to get about $700,000 relative to the $2 million they've been appropriated biennium in the past. You know, honestly, it might be more my turn, because I think you did the last manager's meeting. I'm pretty familiar with it. I'm not sure. Okay. I didn't do it last.
I didn't either. So yeah, I think it was you.
It might be more of a... But you have your thing. There's no reason why you can't go in for your 10 minutes and I can go in for my 5. I can sum up the regional solutions thing like that.
Okay.
No big deal. If you don't feel comfortable, otherwise we can get you, you know. Julie's going to do it. Sarah's going to have it. Corrections is not going to have something, you know, that's not in their wheelhouse. But fairgrounds could have stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's get them paying for the last money for the... I don't know. The arena's kind of a stretch, but we'll get there. We'll get you the information you need.
Okay.
You can do it just fine.
Yes.
Yes.
Anything
you
else?
Yeah.
Who's doing the manager's meeting?
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
We'll figure it out. I really do need these two young ladies for about half an hour is when I'm left to get the stuff ready to go. They're both going to be gone tomorrow.
Okay.
So any paperwork that needs to be done today needs to be done in the next half hour to take north.
Okay.
Go get them, Tiger.
We are adjourned at 3:56.
Thank you.